interesting times. You know, we talked with Governor Ned Lamont a couple of minutes ago about how the Democrats in the legislature, they passed $40 million for special ed while he was in India. He came back, says he's going to veto it, and we'll see what happens next. Tons of stuff going on nationally. We have the president speaking to a joint session of Congress tonight. The news this morning, suspending aid to Ukraine. This after what happened on Friday in the Oval Office. They've also halted offensive cyber ops against Russia. There's a lot going on. And Eric Erickson, who's on WTIC from 6 to 9 p.m. Monday through Saturday, excepting when you have some baseball broadcasts, he's joining us now on Brian and Company. And first of all, Eric, good morning. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. So, I read as much as I can. You know, you do a bunch of salvos throughout the day. You do show notes. And then, you know, when something happens, you write a little missive on it. And so it's always good to sort of get your take. And I felt like, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but as we got toward the election, you got more intensely, you know, sort of pro-Trump. You weren't neutral necessarily, but you got much more intense about it. And then in the new administration, there's been, you know, some things where it's been easy to sort of support, some stuff that you have to sort of, I don't know, find ways to justify. And then there's the Ukraine stuff. And I'm just curious where you are right now with what's happening vis-a-vis how the president is dealing with this situation.
You know, so, I mean, given the alternative with Harris, I think it was a no-brainer to support him. I knew I'd like most of what I get. And on Ukraine, I support him. I think paying the Ukrainians to kill the Russians so we don't have to is not a bad thing in our interest. And Vladimir Putin doesn't want Ukraine because of NATO. He wants them because he wants to reassert a Russian sphere of influence. But I also get the president and his dealing with Zelensky. Now, I've been told by multiple people Zelensky three times rejected that mineral deal and apparently got it in his head after talking, if the rumors are to be true, some of the Biden foreign policy team, that if he went to Washington and he negotiated with Trump face-to-face, he could get a revision of the deal. It didn't go well for him. I don't like that we're stopping weapons transfers to Ukraine right now. I'm hoping that's to try to get Zelensky back to the table. We don't want the Russians to take over Ukraine. It would actually be bad for our national interests because it would ultimately provoke a war we would have to respond to. But I also think that Zelensky, he's been a great wartime leader, but he's struggling to try to get peace.
Yeah, you know, I'm curious. You know, we're going to have Chris Murphy on later, our junior senator, and you know where he stands on a bunch of this stuff. But one of my sort of macro questions is why, like he would say that, you know, that Trump loves, you know, wants the same power that Putin has and that they want to set up an oligarchy here in the U.S. That's what Murphy would say.
Right.
What's behind this, in your opinion, like this sort of like this Russophilic, Putinphilic kind of approach by Trump?
So I don't really think that it is. I think people have gotten that in their head after the 2016 stolen election stuff, Russia stole the election. I don't actually think that's true. Here's what I think is true. There are a group of people, particularly on the right, who have long thought that you could lure Putin back to the West. I think they're wrong, but I think a lot of that idea has seeped back in that we're not pro-Russia, we're pro-Russia joining the West and getting away from China. And ultimately, the prevailing thinking within the Trump administration is we can't build a ship right now in this country to save our lives, let alone build a functioning military aircraft. And we've got to wind down what's happening in Ukraine because we're about to have a war in Southeast Asia with China. And we've got to divert all of our resources to protect our interests in Asia. They don't think we have the money to fight two fronts. They don't think that we are capable right now of dealing with China. So we got to come to terms with Russia and Ukraine, wind that down so we can deal with China. I think it's foolish thinking because the Russians and Chinese have gotten to be friends, but I do think that's the thinking behind what's going on.
Yeah. I think China, I worked at CNBC when everyone wanted to deal with China, do business with China. I think that their economy is a shadow of what it was even 10 years ago. So I don't know. I mean, they have a ton of power, but it's interesting. They are the global threat to many, but I don't want to hash that out too much because we don't have a ton of time with Eric Erickson from the Eric Erickson Show, 6 to 9 p.m. Monday through Saturday here on WTIC News Talk 1080. I want to ask you about DOGE. You know, I'm an independent, unaffiliated voter. I like small government. I like shrinking government. I like getting rid of waste. I do. But I would have loved it to come to where the ends would have been maybe a more balanced budget and a smaller deficit. I mean, I'm curious about what your take on that has been.
I think a lot of it right now is smoke and mirrors and show. They're cutting future contracts, so they're not saving present dollars, they're saving future dollars. But they can't save those dollars unless Congress actually puts it into legislation, because so much of it is appropriated by Congress. So it's great that they're stopping the spending, but they can only stop it for so long unless Congress goes along with it. So there needs to be something a little more constructive than what exactly is happening right now. And also, I do think for sake of intellectual honesty, you got to point out a lot of their major multi-billion dollar savings, they had to revise into being multi-million dollar savings, which is still a lot of money for you and me, but they need to actually do a better job of being honest about what they're finding.
You know, the flood the zone, you know, sort of approach that we sort of knew was going to come. I mean, you knew that it was going to be an intense start to this administration for a bunch of different reasons. One being, you know, if it is, you know, if there's 2 years before things might change at the midterms and so on. Do you think that approach is ultimately going to be successful in getting the agenda that Trump wants across?
You know, it has certainly thrown the Democrats off their game. They're not sure where to attack. They're trying to throw spaghetti at the wall and see what sticks. So in that sense, it's been useful to help Trump. But the bull in the China shop, at some point, you got to go through and figure out what pieces survived the bull in the China shop, and they're having trouble doing that. And also, I just have to tell you, as somebody who covers the news, I would really like for Trump to take a vacation for a couple of days so I can catch up on all the news I wasn't able to get to.
Yeah, it's so true. You know, I'm curious, what that's been done or put forth or proposed do you like the most in this opening stretch of the presidency?
You know, I like the push to cut agencies, particularly the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. My buddy Russ Vogt from OMB in charge of it. I don't think people understand how actually bad that agency is. For example, most Americans bank at community banks, but because of the regulations of the Consumer Financial Protection Board, it's almost impossible to start a new community bank in the United States. They made the burden so high. So going after some of these government agencies that have expanded beyond their purview, I think actually is a really good thing. Deregulating is a good thing. They got rid of the beneficial ownership information report yesterday. If you're on your homeowners association, if you're on your school's booster club, you now have to file a report with the government about your ownership interest, or you go to jail for 2 years. It was an absurd rule the Biden administration passed, and they got rid of that. Stuff like that is good. Tariffs, I think, are bad, and they actually pose the risk of hurting the economy, so it outweighs all the good stuff they've done.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, the implication with, like, Musk early on was that there'll be short-term pain here, and, like, in the stock market, based on what you've seen just in the last 2 days, it's going to be a bumpy ride. Last question for you. I got Murphy on later. What would you like me to ask him? Not saying I will, but I'm saying what would you like me to ask him?
You know, I would ask him this. If we tax billionaires, let's say we take 100% of all the income of all the billionaires in America, we still can't close the deficit, let alone fix the national debt. So what are Democrats willing to cut? If they were to get Republicans on board with a tax, what things are Democrats willing to cut? Because we're not having that conversation, and it's true. You take all the money of all the billionaires in America, you still can't close the deficit, and you got to close the deficit to even take on the national debt.
Yeah, I think it's a fair question. And I think a lot of that's why the Ro Khanna op-ed from a couple of weeks ago was interesting. He's like, if you don't acknowledge that some of our institutions don't work great, then you're not even in the debate, right?
I mean, exactly.
I think it is a really, really good point. Eric, it's great stuff. I appreciate, you know, the way you constantly communicate with your audience is a great model, and I think it works really well, and we appreciate the time.
Thanks so much. I appreciate it.
All right, Eric Erickson joining us here on Brian & Company. And again, it's Monday through Saturday, 6 to 9 p.m. on WTIC. And when the baseball season, it's a little more hit or miss, but you can always find other ways to listen to him on the Odyssey app and so on and so forth. And as I said, he really put his weight behind Trump pushing into the election. And there's been a couple things where he's had some questions about, which I think shows an independent mindset, which I tend to like.